2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
Okay, everybody, welcome on in. It's KSL's Unrivaled, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Thanks for hanging out. Thanks for being with us. You can always download the podcast wherever podcasts are found. Scott Mitchell, former NFL quarterback, former University of Utah great, always with us on the show. Scott, how are things going today, bro?
You know, they're rolling just fine, thank you, Alex.
Until you had to start doing the show.
Oh, I love doing our show.
Yeah, we interrupted.
Every night.
We interrupted whatever was going on.
It was a little bit of sleep. Okay. I was kind of sleeping. I had a nice nap.
Shea Mitchell.
Late this afternoon. It's like, wow, I got to get up and talk on the radio. Okay, let's do it.
I just love the idea of Shea Mitchell.
Shea.
So let's get into some things here. I want to talk a little bit about the idea that with this, everything's up in the air. Rules are out the window this year. We've totally thrown out a lot of the rules when it comes to what we can do for players eligibility-wise at the college level. We're trying to figure this out. If you've missed your whole season, they're granting eligibility for these spring, you know, sports. Obviously, winter with basketball, that missed out because those guys were able to play, you know, 5/6 of their season or whatever. And so to grant eligibility, that'd be hard. As we approach the college football season, some states are going to be ready to play and some are not. Famously, California is one of those states that will be probably last to sign up to get people going when it comes to playing sports. This was brought up on ESPN this week, and I thought this was interesting because this conversation that they had, Paul Feinbaum got in on it, former linebacker at Ohio State, Bobby Carpenter, got involved, and they were asked about what this kind of looks like when the NCAA will likely start granting these one-time, no-strings-attached transfers. If they end up doing that, certainly players are going to fight for it, and the NCAA might fight against it. But what would that look like for the Pac-12? Here's what he had to say.
I think it's free agency, Greeny, and I think it's probably already going on. If you're sitting down there at Clemson or Alabama or Florida or Georgia or Michigan, and you're thinking, I've got a shot at picking off some of the better players in the country, you are going to do it. And it's not like the Pac-12 was healthy anyway. I mean, this program is already a mess. It barely shows up on the radar screen. Last year, Oregon and Utah had a shot, and they both lost late in the season. I think they've only been to the college football playoff twice. So this is a conference that really can't afford to miss this season. But right now, based on what everyone's saying, they're in big danger, and players exiting is the worst possible thing.
Bob, so you have that.
I don't agree with that. I don't agree with this statement at all. Because Clemson, Alabama, some of these schools, Michigan, they don't have to go through the transfer portal to find players.
They can already get four.
They already have all the players. They don't need players. That's BS. And you know what? They don't have the scholarships available for these players. So what? You go. Well, I got a three star guy here with a scholarship. I'm going to cut him to make room for a four star guy at USC. It's not going to happen. Where I'm telling you, where it will actually happen more than anywhere could be at maybe it's the Big 12. Maybe it's part of the Pac-12. Maybe it's a school like Utah. BYU has made this part of their recruiting. So BYU every year goes, we're going to leave out a scholarship, two, three, maybe four, and see what happens with this transfer
maybe
portal.
Maybe each skill position they look for a couple of guys here and there, yeah.
I mean, two or three guys at BYU that are legit guys.
They make a difference.
Changes everything at BYU.
Tyson Williams by himself in that Tennessee game literally pushed his way into that a historic win for BYU. And before he got hurt against Washington, I mean, this kid was on his way. But the question then becomes, too, if you're not able to play in California, you're just going to want to ditch your situation anyway. And what about being able to go? I think Utah could benefit from guys who, when Utah was number two or three on their list, and instead they played at Cal or instead they played at USC, they'll go to Utah instead because they're like, well, I'm just going to go somewhere where we're actually playing games. If the Pac-12 bags the whole season as a conference and other conferences don't, I don't see how you wouldn't see a massive jumping of ship by all these players, too. There would absolutely be a, look, I know you're making this decision as a conference and as a state and as health officials, you're trying to make the best decision possible. But there are still some pretty self-centered 4- and 5-star recruits or even really, really good recruits that are juniors going into. I look at guys who have the possibility to become pro in the next year or two, and they say, I'm going somewhere to play immediately. I don't care if it's North Texas. What you'll see, I think, instead of guys going, I think you're exactly right, Scott. Michigan's not going to get a bunch of USC guys or Ohio State. You're going to see that very rarely, maybe. But what you will see is that guy who was an amazing defensive end at USC playing at North Texas, at Louisiana Tech.
A lot of the,
that's the kind of place where they might be able to find some place to land.
Joe Burrow, I think, is the poster child for staying another year, going to a place where you get an opportunity to play. And so these players are going to go, look, I got to play. If I came back for my senior year and I wanted to get better, I've got to play. So there's no question you're one of these older players. You're just like, look what happened to Joe Burrow. He wasn't that good as a junior. And then his last year, he really blossomed and really changed as a player and really grew as a player. And it was immensely valuable to him. And all these players, and they're going to go around and they're going to say, where is the place that I potentially can play, but I can also develop my skills? And Utah, you look at what they've done with all the players they put into the draft this year. I mean, they're in a good position, but so is BYU. I mean, really, any of these schools, you just have to play, Alex. You know, no one said, oh, yeah, LSU is just it's a magnet for great quarterback play. And
it's never really been that case, right?
No, and so there was just kind of the right situation at the right time, and these players who are really good get in the right situation, and it can really, really change things for them in a hurry. But I'll tell you what's, you know, it's not just college football. It's like high school football. I was seeing some text messages and some these kids from California who are that want to go to college. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to get to play, and it's like, and there's this, you know, these kids are going, I'm going to go to Arizona, I'm going to go to Utah and go play at, you know, any high, you know, I don't know, Bingham High School.
But what if there's no place for them to play this year in the Pac-12 and they're a recruit? What should they be allowed to do? Should they be allowed to just pack up and say, nah, I'm going to play at Montana this year, I'm going to go play at Weber State?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, you can't
tell these kids they can't.
There's no way that you can say, hey, sorry, you know, we shut down the whole entire sports program in the state of California, the largest state in the country, the state that manufactures more recruits and more talent, I mean, than any state in the country. Everyone recruits in California. Everybody recruits in California. And you, I mean, you are going to just like turn the faucet off. It's not so much that these guys are going to go to, you know, Alabama or whatever. It's just, it could have tragic consequences. I don't see how these players that go to these California schools or these California kids that are trying to go to college or any of this stuff, it's gonna really put major stress on some of these programs that are halfway decent.
Let me ask you this: these guys at Utah, they've been amazing at recruiting and bringing in amazing talent. You know, considering that it's Utah.
Right. And from California.
And from the state of California, from Florida. You know, they're picking out some of the biggest states and they're bringing guys in. What do you tell guys? How do you keep – part of that recruiting is keeping them there. What do you tell guys?
Utah has the best story in the world. Are you kidding?
What is it?
They have better than the best story in the world.
You got to sit out for this year, but be patient with us. How do you convince these guys?
I'm assuming that these guys can't – that they actually can come in and play right away. Utah's pulling kids from big-time programs, and they're saying, look – you know, we have competed for the Pac-12 championship the last 2 years. There's nothing to say we can't continue to do that. These kids leaving California, we're gonna have all the talent may end up in Utah. I mean, really, the players, the coaches, they go, yeah, you come here and look at all the guys we put in the draft this year, and you could be one of those players. You can come in and you can start immediately.
Let's take a quick break here. When we come back, we got more to go on the program. You don't want to miss anything. If you have missed any part of the show, download the podcast, go back, listen to some of these again. We've got more to talk about right here. Stay with us on KSL News Radio. Here we go. All right, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us. Thanks for being a part of the program, as usual. Also, we want to welcome with us, being a part of the program today, he is BYU guru, BYU insider for KSLSports.com, plus the host of Cougar Sports Saturday, a program I hold near and dear to my heart. If you do not listen on Saturdays, if you're like me, you're out and about on Saturday, and Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte are kicking it with some Cougar info on Saturdays. So, Mitch Harper, what's going on? Thanks for being with us, man.
Hey, happy to be on, guys. Always feels like a little bit of normalcy talk with you guys, so it's always good to catch up.
I've never thought of us as normal, but thank you.
Yeah, no, he's saying during all this, this is the only time.
Yeah, this is the only time we're
this
normal.
Only time.
Yeah, when
only,
everything
only
is abnormal, we're normal.
So, Mitch, first things first here. Everybody's desperate to know what's going to happen with the college football season. I know that the Pac-12 has been freaking everybody out because California is like the hardest state when it comes to trying to figure out where they're going to be at. And they'll be one of the last probably to come around with their population and with the way the Governor Newsom kind of works. They will be a late start probably, at least to schools. We don't know where the athletic things stand, but what about from the BYU prospect of things? Have they talked some about the way that they do things? I know you've had conversations with Mark Pope and people like that during the offseason, but have we gotten any sense of what a schedule could look like for BYU contingency-wise? Do they even talk about that?
Yeah, they haven't really given much insight into that right now, but I think that BYU, interesting enough, in a position, guys, where they could find some intriguing games, maybe, land in their lap potentially, if everything breaks out. Because, I think the thought has been put out there that, if it goes to conference only, BYU could end up just playing the likes of Liberty, Army. And none of us want to see that. But I think that...
I thought you were going to try to sell me as those were the intriguing matchups. That's
no,
I was like,
no one wants to see that. I think most fans would say shut the season down before they see those games 10 times in the year. But I think that with a lot of the leagues, like the Big 12, their commissioners expressed that they'll even play if no classes are taking place on campus. And then the SEC is pretty staunch on just starting on time. I think that there's going to be some opportunities for BYU to maybe either, one, hopefully keep the games that they've already got scheduled, but two, I think there could be teams that in need of replacing maybe Pac-12 teams. BYU could come in and fill that spot potentially to fill out that 12-game schedule. And we know that BYU is always willing to play really anyone, anywhere, and they'll do it for their TV partner, ESPN, and they'll make it work. So I think it's not all doom and gloom for BYU. I think it'll work out in the end. But I think, the feeling seems like a lot maybe could potentially depend on, for BYU and the season starting on time, with the online classes element, and if there is in-person classes taking place. BYU announced today that they're going to have, they're going to make a decision on fall semester coming up as late as July. So if it's online only, maybe that potentially delays things a little bit to start, but I think BYU still kind of keeping all their options in front of them.
So I felt a smile come on your face when you said that BYU may take away some of those Pac-12 games So what, is BYU not going to play Alabama because USC isn't? Is that kind of what it is?
No, I just think that BYU has always been very flexible in any type of scheduling situation. When it's just a normal 12-game season with no global pandemic impacting it, BYU is willing to fill any possible need that's out there in college football. And BYU is a program that, you know, has a respectable brand, I think, in college football circles, that if there comes to a situation where teams don't want to fill out these 12-game schedules and they need a date filled because another league is not playing, I think BYU would feel would be willing to play, I would think. I mean, that's just kind of my read on the situation there. So a lot to decipher between all this, because what's been unfortunate about this whole situation is it feels like we're all speculating on the speculation, and hopefully we can get some more answers in the near future, because it feels like college football, we need some answers, I think, by what, mid-June at least. We got to get some answers to actually if the season is going to be starting on time. So we got to get some answers very soon here.
Have you heard anything about our you know, with the NBA, they've kind of started to say, okay, we're going to let you back in the gym. Have you heard anything about, are they going to let the players back in the gym, so to speak? And
yeah, so I spoke to BYU, I reached out to BYU spokesperson earlier today, and as of right now, all the facilities are going to be closed through March. But with most of the state of Utah moving to phase yellow this weekend, I think BYU is going to, you know, kind of follow the guidelines of the state government officials and also BYU, the university. But I think they're keeping their options open. Right now, though, as of today, all the athletic facilities will remain closed and will remain closed coming up on Saturday when it moves to phase yellow. But I think, you know, when you heard that, you know, there could be 50 people in this phase yellow together, I mean, I think that opens up the door maybe for some organized activities for, you know, these players to maybe conduct some workouts at the facility when those things do open up. So it could change. And at BYU expressed today when I spoke to them that they're going to be they're going to be keeping their eyes on what local authorities or government officials are saying in this process.
Do face masks count as masks? That's the question. Can they go out there and they start working out? We talked with Zach Wilson earlier in the probably 3 weeks ago, and I think, you know, he probably regretted saying it, but he was like, yeah, we're out working out. You know, I've gotten kicked off of some fields. We got kicked out of the indoor practice facility. So, you know, and we're going, all right, Zach, go ahead and don't tell us that. But, I mean, these guys are going to find a way to, especially this sure. group of 20-year-olds, 22-year-olds. They're going to find.
You're fooling yourself if you think
they're finding places. Yeah. You know, I got a video. My son had to cancel his BYU baseball camp from this summer. And they sent a video out for all the camp kids who got everything canceled. It was from the swim coach. And he was like, hey, for all you campers are out there, and I'll just tell you, the people who are ready for swim camp, I'm standing in the pool right here at BYU. And it was dry, you know, nothing in it. He goes, this is how serious we're taking it. We drain the pools and we're doing like small maintenance things right now. Like there's no, we're focusing on doing other things. And so we got to get, you know, stay active and all those things. These players who are on scholarship are absolutely working out, and they're just waiting for the time for it not to be publicly shamed when they're like at a park working out or something. So, Mitch, the other thing I wanted to ask was, from this football standpoint, has there been any talk of, and I don't know, is BYU kind of gone silent this summer when it comes to being able to have access to, at the beginning we were talking a lot with the coaches, a lot with the athletic directors, things like that, but now it seems like they've gone a little bit dark and they're kind of waiting around to hear word.
Yeah, I think they're kind of been a little bit quiet. They did have a Zoom meeting. Kalani Sitake, Elisa Tuiaki, and Jeff Grimes had a Zoom meeting with Matt Bushman and Isaiah Kafusi yesterday to kind of give the kind of an outlook for the upcoming potential season for fans yesterday. So they've been pretty. I think they're still kind of having a positive outlook and kind of hoping for the best. They even talked with Dax Mill this past weekend, and you know he's one of those guys that's been working with Zach Wilson, and they're trying to, you know, fingers crossed and have an optimistic outlook on all of this. But what's kind of interesting is, you know, and I put a piece on this on our site on KSL Sports, and, you know, for BYU, it's interesting. Like, who do they answer to? Like, who is kind of feeding them the info on all of this? Like, we know at Utah, it's Larry Scott, and in the Mountain West for Utah State. It's Craig Thompson. Like, who's kind of advocating for BYU's cause when you're talking about all these college football commissioners and the Notre Dame AD? They're talking to Mike Pence, the vice president, but like, who's really kind of speaking on BYU's behalf and these other independents that aren't Notre Dame? So it kind of makes you wonder, like, are they having to find out information through, you know, their sources or their contacts in this college world? It's been interesting in that regard, because really BYU has no voice advocating for potentially their season. They don't have a seat at the table in regards to these national matters for the sport. So I think BYU just kind of having an optimistic outlook on it and being open-minded to anything that potentially comes their way.
Carol Baskin. That's who is advocating.
Let's
You've been watching TikTok, haven't you, Scott?
Carol
Baskin. Husband.
Carol Baskin.
She's advocating for BYU.
I love it. All right. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. I want to ask Mitch about Matt Harms, who's found his way back into the news because Purdue's basketball coach churning sour grapes back in Indiana. We'll talk about it next. Stay with us right here on KSL's Unrivaled.
KSL's Unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
Okay, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, former NFL quarterback, former University of Utah great. Also joining us on the line, our insider for BYU, all things BYU, Mitch Harper from KSLSports.com, also the host of Cougar Sports Saturday, noon to 3 right here on KSL News Radio. Mitch, let me ask a non-sports question. At the beginning of all this quarantining, there was a lot of talk about foods we were eating, and that was kind of fun at the beginning, and everybody watching Tiger King and things like that. And now, what have you shifted to? Because Tiger King is like so 4.5 weeks ago. So that's, you're a pop culture dude. So I want to know what you're dipping yourself in these days to keep yourself occupied on the streaming services.
Yeah. So lately I finally wrapped up. I don't know why I missed it last fall. I wrapped up the series Ballers on HBO,
oh, yeah.
And that wasn't very good.
I didn't like it that much either.
I could have done without it.
Yeah, yeah, I thought The Rock was just doing like extra work at that point. It's just like, it's another paycheck. This is dumb.
Yeah, I could have done without watching that final season. The first two seasons of Ballers, and that's why I was like, okay, I'm going to finish out the series, but probably could have just done without it. So I watched that, and then been watching, you know, some movies, but I haven't got all in on a series. I have watched the first handful of Stan's episodes. I just haven't watched the most recent ones, so I got to get caught up.
Super weird, super weird comedy from BBC Channel 4. Matt Berry is the lead actor in it. It's called Toast of London. Okay, it's on Netflix. They're only 3 seasons. They're 20 minutes, and they're only 6 episodes a season. They're 20 minutes a pop. You can finish that bad boy this weekend. It is like a surreal, it's like a fever dream of comedy. It's like super weird. There's puns, there's hilarity, there's a little bit of heartfelt stuff going on there. Toast of London. So
hold on. The Matt Berry, the BYU quarterback?
No, not that Matt Berry.
No.
No, and don't you ever bring that name up again. That guy was going through
Matt
that
Berry.
Guy was going through BYU when I was there
at
school. It was
that
bad
was
times.
BYU.
It was bad times, dude, when Matt Berry came in the game. All right, so no, not the Matt Berry.
Jerry Seinfeld was good.
The Jerry Seinfeld comedy special, but that's only, you know, an hour.
I know it's an hour.
But it's really good.
But it's worth watching.
Very if you're as a married man, Mitch, you'll appreciate it. All right. Well, let's jump into the sports side of things again real quick. Matt Harms, BYU's biggest get in the offseason and probably the nation's biggest get in terms of a basketball recruit. His former coach at Purdue saying, yeah, Matt Harms is leaving because the reality is when guys transfer, it's because they couldn't get the work done here. So they're a combination of they're not mentally tough enough to work through the things they have to do to get better here, and they're not good enough to get drafted. That's what transfers don't get drafted ever. You know, he kind of pulled this whole thing and that Matt basically lost his gig there essentially. And that's why he sort of fled to BYU, so to speak. Your thoughts on the sour grape talks out of Purdue.
Yeah, I thought it was, I mean, how could Matt Painter honestly get a, another recruit. I mean, he's going to get recruits, but how can you honestly look at that guy and trust him if you're a player? Because at the end of the day, I mean, I think that a guy like Matt Harms made this decision because he's had a lot of injuries. He didn't have maybe the big enough role that he wanted. He just moved. I think it's more a situation. I think he got upset, that being Matt Painter, over Matt Harms' transfer because he transferred to BYU. I mean, because I think he's looking at it from a standpoint. You hear Matt Painter say, are you going to play tougher competition in the league that you went to? No. Because, I mean, Matt Harms was in the Big Ten, maybe the best conference in college basketball, and then he goes to BYU, which, you know, we followed BYU, and they were a dang good team this past year, but the outside perception, Coast Conference, that looks like a step down from Purdue, especially when you see, you know, Matt Painter's success with getting big men in his tenure to the NBA. So it sounded like sour grapes. To me, it's just like, let these guys go. I think the stats that he did provide about transfers and the NBA draft were enlightening. But, hey, we're not talking about, you know, guys getting to the NBA draft. It's about, you know, I think for right now, it's just, you know, having a great college basketball,
sure,
being a great college basketball player and using your talents. But, yeah, I think it was just kind of really sour grapes by Matt Painter, not a good look for him. And I don't know why really anyone would play for that, want to play or trust for that guy going forward when he's going to badmouth him out the door. I just thought that was kind of a bad look.
Yeah, I think that there's inconclusive data about transfers in the NBA. This isn't something that's been going on for years and years and years, and so it's still relatively young before you can really.
Well, now you're only
a
successful
about,
if you're like a one and done guy,
right?
That's
yeah,
what
so
it
it's
is.
Yeah, and basketball, there's so few guys that actually get drafted and do well, and you know it's.
But
Yoli
Childs came back for his extra year,
yeah,
and it was an amazing season for him,
right,
even after missing those. But he knew too; he wasn't thinking to himself, "Yeah, now I'll be a lottery pick once I come back to BYU for my final season." That's not the way people look at
it. I know this is a little different, but you look at Jalen Hurts, who was, because it's not basketball, but it's a transfer, and here's a guy that could totally have sour grapes. It's like he lost his spot. He had to kind of sit around. He said, "Forget this. I'm heading out the door." Goes to Oklahoma, you know, and he's a high draft pick.
Yeah.
I mean, he got drafted in the second round. I don't
and
think
he was
he's great as a quarterback.
He was
but
a Heisman kind of guy almost the entire season,
almost a whole year.
Yeah.
And so I understand the competitive nature of these coaches, and I understand that, you know, that they have their sour grape situation. I get that. You know, most of them try to put a good face on things, and I guarantee you, behind closed doors, they certainly think differently about, you know, they don't want to lose any player. They're all extremely competitive. But to your point, Mitch, about, you know, how could you trust this coach, you know, and the reality is you can never trust any coach, just so you know, and they always lie, and they're always going to tell you the very best of things when you're being recruited. And so, I wouldn't put too much stock in the coach telling you the truth ever. But it's here to stay.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going away. And so I.
Well, and every guy, look, I think it's exactly right.
It.
Matt Painter talking trash about a guy that's not in his program anymore wastes a massive amount of energy, you know, and it's just, there's no point in doing it. Let's talk about recruiting, though, for a second. BYU makes a shift on the recruiting side of things, passing the reins officially to Jason IU and Jack Damuni. So here's the question. What changes now for BYU recruiting-wise with these guys at the helm?
I think you're going to see a lot more star chasing. What I mean by that is you're going to see BYU try to get in the conversation more again with higher rated recruits. I think you've seen the past few years where BYU has trust kind of their own evaluations, but you look at them and they've been lightly recruited guys, maybe, you know, Weber State offers, Utah State, and BYU. I think, you know, Jason IU and Jack Damuni have maybe a goal to try to get BYU in the mix more with, you know, getting those higher rated recruits. And I think they understand that they can't just simply, you know, be BYU's offering an LDS kid and that's going to be enough. I think they understand that it's got to be a 24/7 kind of round the clock commitment. I remember back in like 2014 when Martz and the recruiting director got guys like, you know, Devon Blackman, Nick Kurtz. You know, he would send like thousands of texts to those guys to really get them. And I think these guys are kind of looking at it like, hey, we're all in from a social media side of things to also just kind of making these kids feel the love. Because I think the past few years, I think a lot of recruits that have been interested in BYU, you'd hear stories of, oh, I haven't heard from BYU coaches in 2 months. And that just can't happen, especially if you're going to try and go up against the USC's, even Utah, who have, you know, dozens of people on their staff just dedicated to recruiting. For BYU, it's still just Jason Ayu and Jack DeMooney and some interns. So you're facing an uphill battle just in terms of personnel. But I think these guys have unique experiences with recruiting. Both of them have sons that have, you know, been heralded recruits. Jack DeMooney currently with Raider DeMooney. He's a 2021 three-star athlete who's committed to BYU. And, of course, Jason has his son, Chaz, who had offers from over 40 schools. So I think they have a unique perspective, and I think they got the right attitude to try and really kind of capture what BYU has both on the field but also off the field with all their unique connections from a networking and business side of things as well.
You're a millennial, right, Mitch?
Yeah,
so,
I am.
Right, so these recruits, if they don't hear from a coach, no one's texting them,
right?
They're in meltdown.
You got to send them some gloves. You got to got to give them a shirt. You got to give them a T-shirt. It's got a fun saying on it. Get them all excited about it.
She hasn't texted me back in 5 minutes.
Mitch Harper, host of Cougar Sports Saturday. Also, KSLSports.com. You can find his byline there. Mitch, thanks for hanging out, man. We appreciate it.
Hey, no problem, guys.
All right, taking the break here. We got more to go. Our buy or sell segment next on KSL's Unrivaled. Stay with us.
All right, welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. I am Scott Mitchell, and he is Alex Carey. And we want to thank you for tuning in tonight. And we're at the end
of the whole week here, bro.
The whole week.
Look at that.
The end of the end.
Well, settle down.
Which
here
is now a new beginning. Because that's after this, it's the weekend.
It'll be Monday, and then we'll be back to doing more episodes.
Back at it again.
What did we do in our last segment of the show here, Scott? Do you recall? Is it something in particular that we do?
No, Alex, I don't recall 5 minutes ago. So
it's the old concussion protocol. Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, you know,
Did you ever play with a concussion?
I believe so.
You know what? Now I know you're telling the truth.
I don't remember.
Because I was like, yep, could be.
Actually, now
the
I
guys
know
who are super crystal clear, I'll tell you about exactly how it happened. And then you're like, I don't believe you have too good of a memory about it.
So from what I know of concussions, I had a lot of concussions.
There was a lot of this I'm not coming out attitude.
Oh, where's the smelling salts?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I got my bell rung.
That was the term. That was the term.
Oh, man, he got his bell rung.
Yeah, he got scrambled a little bit. Got a little bit sideways on that one. I couldn't believe when I was in high school, guys would get concussions. We didn't know what concussions were, but we knew they'd get knocked out sometimes.
Right.
We wouldn't say, yeah, he's probably got a concussion. But there were a couple guys that got knocked out. I always remember Ricky Cardillo, the hardest hitter on our team, kind of self-inflicted concussion, and then he went in the locker room, and they made him sit out. And he went in the locker room and he was crying, which is a massive symptom too, like of concussion. Like, and he couldn't remember his locker combination. We were laughing. We were like, Ricky, you can't remember your combination? And he's like, and the coach was like, Cardillo, gosh dang it, if I gotta come out there with the master list of combinations, and he was like, I can't remember my combination. And we're like, this is hilarious. Think about how terrible that is now.
Right.
But we didn't know anything.
No.
Because the whole idea was, listen, you got to make this Texas football team. You got to make this Texas high school football team. You don't make it by saying, Coach, can I come out?
No.
So, anyway, let's go to Buy or Sell here, brought to you by Online Trading Academy. Go get yourself a free 3-hour training at tradingacademy.com. That's tradingacademy.com. I've got some. I'll just throw out these scenarios. Scott, you buy or sell them. Here we go. You're buying... watching The Last Dance, the last episode on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to buy it.
But
I'm going to buy it in the sense that I think I'm just hoping this time around...
it might clank?
It might... No, they might call a foul on Michael Jordan. That's all I want. Or all I want is Michael Jordan to go...
Yeah, I pushed off.
I pushed off.
He's never going to say that.
Yes, he is.
It's like... Listen, it's
He's going to say it.
Listen, it's like... Think about it. I'll tell you. So... Maradona, okay? Guy who blatantly hit a ball in with his hand, right?
Right.
They call that play La Mano de Dios, right? They call it the Hand of God play because he hit it in with his hand. But they ended up winning going on to win the World Cup because of it. And now everybody embraces the fact that, oh yeah, massive cheating play, and he still won. So why can't Michael Jordan just treat it like that and go, yep, the old push-off. I pushed him off
when
I won.
They'll just go, oh, he's competitive, he wins at all costs, even if he has to push a guy a little bit.
Oh, jeez. So do you buy Jazz fans saying, I can't even watch this, though? There's going to be a lot of guys who might feel that way.
Oh, no, there's a lot of Jazz fans that don't want to watch it. Yeah. I'm okay with it. If it was football and I was involved, I would not want to watch it.
Right.
I wouldn't. It's like Stockton goes, I don't want to talk about this Michael Jordan, how great he is. Stuff.
What do you call it? Yeah, fluff piece.
Fluff piece.
This is the best. I love that he came out and said that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think about there are people who don't want to go back and rehash these things. I interviewed Gordon Hayward when he came in as a rookie, and I was like, back in March, you have this high of getting to the national championship game and this low of losing on this shot clanking out. I'm like, what was going through your mind, you know, when you watch that tape later? He goes, oh, I've never seen the tape, and I will never watch it.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not going to watch myself lose the national championship.
Nope.
You kidding me? He's like, it's come on ESPN a couple times during the summer. Not watching it.
Nope.
And we watch it more now because it's insane to think that he almost won the national championship on a half-court heave. I mean, anyway. Scott, are you buying Florida? Inviting teams to play in the swamp, their athletic director says, we're glad to have you. Come
we're
on
open
down
for business.
Come on down, play in the swamp. Do you buy NFL teams actually playing in the swamp in Florida?
I think, yeah, absolutely. And I think it's awesome that Florida is willing to do that. I mean, this is such a good thing. I think it's a way to control the whole corona thing. So, yeah, I'm totally buying this. I like it.
Scott, do you buy the universal designated hitter in baseball after the 2020 season? So just making kind of not just a switch up for the season where we say, hey, we've got to squeeze in some more baseball a little bit quicker, so we're going to have DHs for both leagues. This is something baseball desperately needs, I think.
Here's the thing. These pitchers, they pitch like every 5 days. You can't tell me they can't work on their swing. Come on. I think they either have it.
But it's so lame when the pitcher... But
they
Scott,
have you, it across the board.
Scott,
I don't care what it is.
The pitcher is so lame when he gets up there, though.
I know,
so
but it's because he doesn't work on his swing.
None of them have for the history of time.
Yeah, well, when you're back in college and high school, and it's like... And I guarantee these guys weren't just designated pitchers. They were... If they were good pitchers, they were also good hitters, too. Yeah, I don't care what it is. Just make it the same. So either have designated hitter across the board or the pitcher hits.
Scott, are you buying Rob Gronkowski being named the comeback player of the year by the end of the season in the NFL? He's kind of, I mean, like, if you look at it, people don't think of, they can't think off the top of their head of anybody else who's going to win the award. So if he has a half-decent year, it's going to be tough not to name him the comeback player of the year.
All right, you sold me on it. I'm buying it.
There's just no way.
Yeah.
Who else? What other player do you have in your mind that's making a comeback this year?
Almost sounds like people want to just give it to him right now, and the reality is they probably just could. I mean, even before the season starts,
you think
go,
he's not going to catch 10 or 11
if
touchdowns?
If you show up and play every game this year,
he's going to score 11 touchdowns from Tom Brady, his buddy.
Yeah.
Comeback player of the year. All right. Do you buy the Pac-12 or Mountain West football players transferring if they can't play in 2020?
Yes, I buy that.
But you think the season's going to go on, so it won't matter.
Yeah, I don't. I think it's a moot point, but yes. If it did, I would see that they could do that. Heck yeah.
I saw today that Steph Curry, LeBron James, they got their full paycheck, even though the rest of the league did not. They've taken a 25% pay cut, but those guys, I don't know why, they have it kind of worked into their contracts that they'd be still getting paid. But they will take a pay cut of $490,000 and $385,000, respectively, come November. Are you buying that being a massive change for LeBron James's income for 2020?
So it's LeBron and Steph Curry?
Yeah, those are the two highest paid ones. Those are two highest paid ones that are not going to get a pay cut. Like the rest of the league will this weekend.
It's probably because they had something in their contract for, like,
even if it was a Black Swan event,
something like
blah,
that.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they should just do it on principle.
Do it in solidarity with the rest of the league.
Yep.
Like, that creates resentment.
Yep.
I'm not saying you have to, but it creates some resentment with these guys that are around that go, hey, man, the rest of us did, and we don't even make nearly the money you do.
Yep.
So that's why you're going to get dinged if you're Michael Jordan. All right. Scott, I want you to have yourself a good weekend there, bro.
You too there, old Alex.
Okay. So we'll be back on Monday for Scott Mitchell, Josh hitting the buttons, Jeremy producing. We'll see you next time, everybody.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.